Good morning. We want to welcome all of our visitors here this morning and encourage you to turn your Bibles and turn God's Word to Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. It is so good to see Brother David Hartzell and Sister Belinda with us this morning. So glad he's able to be out and with us this morning. Appreciate them so much. Also, want to say very briefly how thankful Lauren and I are, as I think are the rest of this congregation, for Brother David Maxson and his family, and how much they mean to us here already. He is a hard worker, and it's kind of hard to stay up with him sometimes, but we're so thankful he's here. He's in a meeting this morning, but we pray for him, love him, and his family, everything they've done for us already, and thankful so much for them being here with us at Northwood. What do you think about when you think about giving? It's kind of a conundrum to think that by giving away something, we would be better off, especially I think in our culture. But as we read God's Word and as we understand the way God's Word teaches, we understand that it is only by giving that we are truly blessed. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, we read, "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" What if our attitude was that of giving? How would our lives differ financially? How would our lives differ from a time standpoint? How much more spiritually minded would we be if we let giving help us to grow spiritually? That's what we're going to talk about this morning, growing spiritually by learning to give. And I hope and pray that you take the outline and you follow along this morning as we talk about three ways that we grow spiritually, as we will the rest of this series. In the first part of this series, we talked about, David talked about last Sunday, the fact that taking God's Word and opening it will help us to grow spiritually. And I hope and pray that you've started the 40-day challenge and you've got through the first 7 days and that you've read God's Word every single day. As we take the rest of the challenge, I hope and pray that you implement giving into this challenge, that you take it seriously and that you get to know Jesus Christ on a personal level through giving. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But let's review. What is true spirituality, as David introduced last week? It is a relationship with God, rooted in knowledge, evidenced by righteousness, directed toward the day of Christ, and all to God's glory. As we talk about giving this morning, let's talk about it from the standpoint that we give because we have a relationship with God. "For all that you've done, I will thank you," as we sang this morning. We give because we understand who God is, the giver of all good gifts, James chapter 1. We give, and when we do, it's evidenced. The good things that we do are evidenced, and giving is one of those. And it is all in view of the day of Christ coming one day to God's glory. I hope and pray that we're doing that this morning. And as we talked about last week, giving has to do with faith, hope, and love. Spiritual vision, faith, which leads to spiritual direction, hope, which leads to spiritual devotion, love. It's all about seeing with spiritual eyes. That way we're going the right spiritual direction and we're devoting ourselves to God. And I hope and pray this morning that we have done that by giving we can grow in doing this. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So let's talk one more time about this verse in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Is that our outlook in everything that we do in this life? Is that our perspective? What is your perspective? What is your outlook in this life today? What is your spiritual vision? What do you see spiritually when you look up toward heaven. As one person so eloquently put it, one of the things that clouds our vision spiritually, as one person has put it, is the most accepted sin in the church. That person would call it materialism. That person would call it taking ourselves and doing everything for ourselves instead of our Lord. We have accepted the concepts, take care of yourself, love yourself, be yourself, find yourself. But Jesus says, deny yourself. Give yourself to me. Are we seeing with spiritual eyes today? Giving ourselves, giving all that we have. For example, what are some of the things that we give ourselves to rather than God? What are things that cause us to not look with spiritual vision? According to a recent study, Americans check their phones at least once per hour, at least. And nearly 3 out of 4 said that losing their phone would make them feel panicked. I have felt that feeling before. A Time magazine poll released in 2011 of people around the world showed that 84% of people don't think they could be separated from their phones for just one day. Are we truly denying ourselves? Are we letting things that we could give away, such as our time, such as our resources, get in the way of our faith, of our spiritual vision, looking toward heaven and seeing the goal? Faith is spiritual vision. What if we had the perspective, and just bear with me for a minute, what if we had the perspective that everything we've been given, everything we receive, is not as good as who gave it? What if you walked up to a little boy at Christmas time and said, "You see that Xbox right there that you just got for Christmas? That Xbox is not as good as the one who gave it to you." What would that little boy say? Say, "Yeah, that's right, but let me have my Xbox." And so sometimes we let our perspectives get in the way of our giving. We don't realize that the one who gave it is better than what we have. For example, look in James chapter 1 and verse 17, if you would. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything that we have, time, materials, money, cars, homes, everything that we have came from God. So, instead of being sometimes like children on Christmas Day, where we can look at our gift and say, "It's not good enough, I want more." Or instead of looking at that gift and saying, "Wow, I'm going to play that forever. I'm going to do that forever. I'm going to use this gift and just get obsessed with it." We thought about the one who gave it to us as being good. How would that change our perspective on giving away things, on giving to others? How would that change our spiritual vision? What if we truly set out in our minds to give, and knowing that if we did that, it would build our faith, it would make our spiritual vision so much clearer? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 11. If faith is spiritual vision, if faith is seeing the unseen, what can we do? How can giving help us to see the unseen? Well, let's start by definition. The ESV, Hebrews 11 verse 1, says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We're going to get to hope in a minute. Faith assures you of what you hope for and is the conviction of things you don't see. Faith is all about giving your life, giving your heart, giving your money, giving your time to what you don't see. Is that difficult for you? It's difficult for me sometimes, because we live in a world that focuses in on what's seen and what's unseen. But Jesus basically sums it up in Matthew chapter 6. If you'll turn over there with me, please. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew sums it up by saying, look, the assurance of things hoped for, the assurance that what you hope for is coming true, is shown by how you give and what you give to. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. That's using what we have with physical eyes. He says, where moth and rust is to destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Some people deny that God cares about the way we spend our money, but nobody denies that God cares about our hearts. If we're devoted to God and we see with spiritual eyes what we give or what we spend our money on or how we give our time is going to be building a spiritual heart, not a physical heart. It's going to be a heart that's going toward heaven. So take a minute and ask yourself, are the things that I devote myself to, are the things that I give my time and my money and my life to, getting me towards heaven? Getting me toward the things that I hope for, the assurance of what I hope for? And then take some time to think about this. Is what I give myself to, is it because I'm convicted of what I don't see? Or is it because I'm convicted of what I do see? Once you leave this building today, what can you see? Well, you'll come out this road over here and you'll stop at the stop sign and hopefully you'll see both ways. And then you'll come into the turning lane and you'll go on and you'll go past restaurants where you'll probably go eat and you'll go back to your home and you'll be in your car and that's all we see. But God is calling us to see more than that. To see past the physical to the spiritual. All the way to heaven, to our true home, instead of going to our physical home. What is your true home? In Hebrews chapter 11, if you're still there or if you want to turn over there, Hebrews 11, notice in verse 3 how we have to see what is not there to truly see. It says, by faith we understand, Hebrews 11 and verse 3, that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You get that? The things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. The point is, we need to focus our eyes on spiritual things, on our permanent home. I have some close friends of mine who are in the military. And every couple of years they have to move. And one of the difficult things for them and for their little boy is they don't get settled in too much because when it's time to leave, they always know that it's inevitable. So I ask you this question. Do you know and understand that your time here is inevitably limited? That we're just here temporarily? That we're not to be too attached to this world? So in retrospect, we give our funds away. We give our time to those who need it. Because we know this isn't our permanent home. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Where is our citizenship? It's in heaven. That is where our home is. It's in heaven. So we give our money, we give our time to things that will help us to be in heaven one day. That's where our spiritual vision comes from. So I want to challenge us to do this every day. To not be afraid. Lauren and I went to a yard sale a few months ago, and there was a little boy. And every time his mom would try to sell something that was his at the yard sale, you know what he would do? He would back up. He'd take it, and he'd say, no. And she said, well, you got plenty of toys. You got plenty of stuff. He said, well, no. So she said, okay, fine, I won't sell this. And so somebody else would pick up something else and he'd run over to it and say, no, keep it. He's so attached to what he had, not realizing that he has so many more things in the future waiting for him. So many toys coming in his birthday and at Christmas. How much more are we afraid to give away our stuff, our money, our time, because we're afraid of what's going to happen in the future? We're holding on to the present and lie to the future. Giving creates vision that we need so desperately. And there's a good illustration of that. Turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 4 if you're already there. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. And I don't want you to read about some people who were givers. Deep givers. Really good givers. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, although it being dead still speaks. He gave to God. By faith, by spiritual vision, he gave to God. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He was looking forward to something that had not happened yet. And he was taken by God. And he was not found because God had taken him. But before he was taken, he had this testimony that it pleased God. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things yet not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah was a giver. He gave over 100 years of his life to build an ark for something he never saw before. So I'm going to challenge you. Will you give your life to something you've never seen before, to heaven? Will you give your money to those who are in need? Will you give your time to people who need you? Will you give your heart to spiritual things and not just physical things? Use your funds based on what we don't see rather than what we do see. Giving creates spiritual vision. Notice one more time. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. That's faith. Faith sees the unseen. And it makes us in such a great spiritual relationship with God. I hope and pray that we're givers today and that by faith we see the unseen. Secondly, giving helps us to deepen our hope. Or as David has set out for us, our direction. Where are you headed today? What direction are you going in? And as I said earlier, after you leave here, you're going to go home. And then you're going to go to school. And then you're going to go back home. Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow. But really, where are you going? In 50 or 60 years from now, some of you who are in your 20s, where are you going? Some of you who are in your 60s, in 20 or 30 years, in 10 years, where are you going? Where are you going? Where's your direction? What is your hope? Whether we realize it or not, something is our hope. Something is. A young lady posted this on Facebook with a blog. I love my BlackBerry and my sneakers. Yeah, I'm a materialist, so what? That's her hope. Her BlackBerry, her sneakers, that's what she puts her hope in. She said it. One person said, normal is getting dressed in clothes that you buy for work and driving through traffic in a car that you are still paying for. In order to get to the job, you need to pay for the clothes and the car and the house you live, or that you leave vacant all day so you can afford to live in it. What? I couldn't wrap my mind around that the first time. I had to read it again. But I see hope all over that statement. I'm putting hope in these, in this. I'm putting hope in my car. I'm putting hope in my home. But what is our true hope? What's our spiritual direction? Where are we going toward, really, in this life? How about the moment of eternity? The moment that one day we will meet God. I'm afraid sometimes We feel disconnected or we feel lost because we don't really feel like this is our permanent home. And if you've ever, most of you who are married understand, for Lauren especially, Lauren likes to be stable. And I like to be stable too. And if I feel like I'm going to be unstable and everything's going to be in different directions, I'm kind of... And I think that's how we are sometimes. We want security. We want to feel like we're home. And so when I tell you that where we are right now is not our permanent home, I think it subconsciously makes us nervous. And when I tell you your home in Cottondale or your home in East Tuscaloosa or your home in Northport is not your home, it makes you nervous. But God wants us to understand that. And so much so, He doesn't want us to have security here. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 11, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11. And I want you to look at two cases here. Genesis 11 and then Genesis 12. Okay, so in Genesis 11, we've got the account of the Tower of Babel. Okay? We've got a group of people who are not supposed to stay together, who are supposed to spread out and populate the earth. Not a lot of security. Not a lot of stuff to hold on to. Just go out and populate the earth. So what do? They build a tower for themselves. The passage says they do it to make a name for themselves. The opposite of what God has told them. That doesn't require faith for the scene, right? Now, flip to Genesis 12. Verse 1. God says to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land I will show you." Spiritual vision, spiritual direction. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Leave your place of security, Abraham." No map, no compass, no GPS. Just God's direction. How many of us are willing to commit to that? 100%. Just God's direction. Something I noticed about my grandmother the other day that just blew my mind when we were on a trip. She always unpacks her clothes at hotel rooms. Do you ever do that? Do you ever actually put your clothes in the chest of drawers at the hotel room? I don't. Lauren does. I asked my grandmother why she did it. She says, "Because I like to feel at home." We do like to feel at home. We like to feel comfortable. But God is telling us, lose it to gain it. You ever seen that in Jesus's, the theme of Jesus' teaching, you must lose your life to gain it? We must lose things to gain them, which is exactly what Moses knew in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, if you'll turn over there. Hebrews 11 verse 25. We must lose our security. We must lose our sense and just give it all to God to gain eternal life. Hebrews 11, verse 25. Actually, verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." That is security. Growing up in Pharaoh's house, son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." Why? He looked to the reward. He saw it. He saw what was greatest, and he flew to it. He let his spiritual vision direct him to God. So let's challenge ourselves this morning. Are we going to live for the material, or are we going to live for the spiritual? And guess what? There's only one way to make sure we're not living for the material. And Jesus gives the answer. And it's an answer that's tough. Because it's going to challenge me and it's going to challenge you. But it's the answer He gave in Mark chapter 10. Would you flip over there, please? Mark chapter 10. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, verses 21 through 22. You ever heard somebody say, there has got to be another way to do this. When me and my dad were putting together a crib recently, and I'm going to make another illustration to a crib because I got crib on my mind, you know. We're having a baby, so that's what I got. I was thinking, there's got to be another way to put this together. This isn't right. Because it was the hard way. Because I had to do it myself. Because there were no instructions. There's got to be another way. That had to be what was going through the rich young ruler's mind when Jesus told him what it would take to inherit eternal life. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross. Take up the cross and follow me." Jesus loved this man. He loved him. And he loves every single one of us. And he wants us to have the antidote to materialism. And you know how we do it? Give. Give. He desperately needed to learn what was unimportant and cling to Jesus. And the only way he could do that, the only way he could have that relationship, was to give. And you know what? We might not have it as bad as this man. We might not have to give everything away and sell everything we own. But the truth of Jesus' words apply across the board. If we want to make sure we're not material, we have to give. And so how many of us are really doing that? How many of us are giving our money to those in need? How many of us are giving our time to those who need us instead of ourselves, instead of material things? We got to learn to give. The writer of Ecclesiastes, who I believe is Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, puts it so eloquently in talking about money, for example. "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income, for this is vanity." You know what that means? We're never going to be satisfied. We got to give. We've got to give to have true satisfaction. That is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is how we do that. So, in the last 5 or 10 minutes here, how do we do this? How do we become more devoted? How does our love for Christ increase? How do we give? I'd like to ask some questions, and then I'd like to make a couple of challenges as we talk about our 40-day challenge. And the lesson will be yours. A 2008 study by Harvard Business School professor Michael Norton and colleagues found that giving money to someone else lifted participants' happiness more than spending it on themselves. A 2006 study, the National Institute of Health, found that when people give to charities, it activates regions of the brain associated with a pleasure, social connection, and trust, creating a warm glow effect. Scientists also believe that altruistic behavior releases endorphins in the brain, producing the positive feeling known as the helper's high. But Jesus knew already that relationship with Him. That's what we crave. That's what we want. And I've never met somebody who gave that didn't feel wonderful afterwards. So let's ask ourselves some questions. And this is what we do to strengthen love, because I'm going to tell you something. The things that you love, you spend time on. And I would not have spent that time this past week putting together that crib if I hadn't loved Lauren and our baby. It takes time. It takes deep questions. Can I do this? Am I willing to do this? It seems such a small thing, but take something from your life and make it practical. It takes time. It takes questions. So let's throw out some questions here. If my kids were to see my bank statements or credit card bills, what priorities would they see? What do I spend the most on? Do I give? Do I take the time? Younger people, if your parents were to see what you spend your money on from your job and had a list, what would be your priority? Xbox, eating out, Macy's, the dealership, cooking, where's your priority? Number two, does my contribution reflect the gospel? Not just at this building, but in life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you know how many times the writer of Paul mentions the word grace? 5 times. You know why? Because in order for you to understand giving, you have to understand grace. Everything that God gave to us, we didn't deserve. Everything that's done for us, we never paid for. And yet God flows down riches on us. How can we not give them back? So does my contribution here, does my contribution in life to my children, to my family, does it reflect the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Number three, would people look at my contribution to life, to this congregation, to charitable, whatever you give to, and be encouraged to give more or less? Now, let me be real clear about this. You can give a very, very, very small percentage if that's all you have. But I'm going to tell you something. If you giving a small percentage was pretty much everything you had, it would encourage people, wouldn't it? When I've seen college students do without supper one night, and I knew how much they had in their bank account to give to someone in need, it touched my heart. It challenged me. When I saw people in this congregation give to others in need who did not have it, it challenged me. And I tell you one thing, it increased my and their devotion because they had the spiritual vision that led them in the right direction to treasures in heaven. And finally, if we put our gift in Jesus' hand, would He be pleased? Remember the widow's offering? Why was Jesus so pleased? Because she gave out of her poverty. David and I were talking about this past week, that the engagement ring that he bought, Adrian, sorry, he's not even hearing or getting mentioned from the pulpit, I apologize. But it was a good illustration, so I got to use it. The reason it was so important is because he cleaned out his checking account to get it. His savings account. I went in debt to get mine, so yeah, it's important. When you give what you have, when you give in abundance, when you give sacrificially, that's when you know that your faith is increased. So I'm going to challenge us today as part of our 40-day plan. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in 2 small copper coins, and he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." I want to encourage us to give sacrificially, to be purposeful in what we give this week. For those of us who haven't put together a budget, one great way you can describe it is our purpose for God's money. Our purpose for God's money. And this week, give, save, and then spend. Make Jesus, make God your first priority. What do we give to the Lord? Line number one. This week. This is the Lord's money. What's our purpose for it? And then, finally, give sacrificially. I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 3, if you would. Please, Malachi chapter 3. And the lesson will be yours. Malachi chapter 3. I'd like to challenge our congregation, and I think everybody would agree. Sometimes we need to be challenged to test God for the next 33 days. Test Him. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, God says. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He's talking to the people there, and obviously they have not been giving as they should. But flip that around and go to verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. I'm not teaching us to tithe this morning. That's not a New Testament command. But he's teaching about giving. He says, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive of it. He's saying, test me. You're afraid to give. You're afraid to do like you should. Test me. He's not saying I'm going to make you rich, as some teach. He's not saying, for everything you give me, I'm going to give you more back. He said, if you give, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. And that's all we need to know. How blessed? Well, I don't know. But like Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's all we need to know. So pick one of these on your sheet this morning. Pick one. Create a hospitality budget in your life for the first time, a time when you set aside a portion of your money to be hospitable to people. And do it. You know, if you don't have a home to host people in, that's okay. Slip money in their Bible. Don't tell them who it came from and just give it to them. Do that one thing this week. Send money to a widow or orphan, or give your time to them if you don't have money. Double your contribution next week. Yikes. For some of us, that's a challenge. That would hurt. You willing to test God? Sell an idol and give it to the Lord's work. What's an idol for you? Would you be willing to cut your phone off this month and take the money you paid to have it to give to the Lord's work? Would you be willing to turn off your TV, give up your cable? Give up eating out once per week. For our kids, go cut a yard. Use your birthday money or your Christmas money to send Bibles to Zimbabwe or to a country that doesn't have Bibles. If you want to do that, see David Maxson. He does it. He'll get you in on that. Use your money to buy Bibles to give to people here. We do it all the time. Send money to someone who needs it. Take your birthday money. Take your Christmas money. Give, because it begins and ends with God. I hope from this lesson that you're challenged and realize that by giving, it opens up our spiritual vision. It causes us to go in the right direction, and it causes our devotion to be great. But we got to trust God. God wants us to trust Him with our funds, with our time, with our life. And remember, it begins and ends with God. So this week, what are you going to do on Monday to give? What are you going to do on Tuesday? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Take your calendar. There are calendars in the back. Pick up one and write it down. How are you going to give to others this week? That our faith might be increased. That we might be more like God. That we might be more spiritually minded. And I hope and pray this morning that we're thinking about that. Are you a Christian this morning? If you're not, as we talked about this morning, being truly spiritual means following Christ. Giving our life to Him. Not because we're going to receive anything, but because of the love we have for Him. Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Are you willing to confess that He is the Son of God and repent of your sins? If so, we would love to baptize you into Christ this morning for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you're not living the way you should this morning. Maybe your relationship with God isn't as it should be. We want to help you get back on the right path. If we can do anything to help you this morning, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.